Mark chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Christ's ministry. Now, I've said this before, but I repeat it now. These are only thoughts on Mark's gospel. I know I said it before, but it applies never so powerfully as it does in this discourse. Christ's ministry. Let me just read the verses. And this was his message, that is, the message of John the Baptist. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. There's a contrast here. There's somebody coming after me. He's mightier than I. He's greater than me. He's more powerful than I am. His message, his ministry, his work is different to mine, far more powerful. I baptize you with water. There's my ministry. But there's the word of contrast again. But he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So there is not just a comparison here. There's not just a link. Do not miss it. There is a contrast here. There is a stark contrast. John was great. He was the greatest of the prophets, so Christ tells us. But he gives way to a greater. Christ himself, the greatest. John giving way to Christ. Now, in John's gospel, that is John the Apostle, John 1 verse 17, the law was given by Moses. You get the same point, you see. The law was given by Moses. He had a ministry. Yeah, it was a great ministry, important ministry. But, grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, the contrasting words here in our text, Mark 1, 7 to 8, after, mightier, but. And whether you're talking about the person, John and Christ, or their ministry, there is this great contrast. It's the old covenant giving way to the new covenant. This is a mighty thing in Scripture. So many go wrong on it. They mingle these covenants. They mangle these covenants. They play between the two covenants without realizing the contrast between them. I'm not belittling the Old Testament. It had its day. It had its purpose. And it still has a purpose in the law of Christ. It still comes into Christ, into the gospel and so on. But you've got to see the difference between the two covenants. Let me just see some of the things here. I baptize you with water. Well, yeah. External. I can plunge you in water, and I will. I do. But what will Christ do? He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It's a spiritual baptism. So the external has given way to the internal. The shadow has given way to the spiritual. The picture, the illustration, the shadow has given way to the effective. Baptism in water. Okay, it's got its part to play. But the baptism in the Spirit is in another realm altogether. Can you see what what John is saying here? Now, what is this baptism of the Spirit? Well, this is only a brief discourse. At least it's regeneration. Would we agree with that? Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 to 7. I will wash you in water. I will put my Spirit within you. I'll give you a new heart. John 3, 3 to 8. Born again, born of the Spirit, washed, cleansed, you see. It's a picture, it's an illustration of the regeneration, the renewal by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. Such were some of you. You were sinners, you were this and you were that. You're all sinners, but you were sinners in this way, homosexuals and all the rest of it. But you are washed, you are clean, you are justified, you are sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 to 13. We've all been baptized by the Holy Spirit into one body. We've been taken out of paganism. We've been taken out of sin, out of condemnation, out of law, into grace, into gospel, into Christ. Out of Adam, into Christ. John 3, 22 to 36. John the Baptist's testimony. I do this, but he is mightier than I. I'm not worthy to undo his shoes and so on. He must increase. I must decrease. If you don't believe him, if you don't receive him, you'll be everlastingly damned. Let me just read one passage of those I've quoted. Well, I don't think I mentioned it. Colossians chapter 2, I left it for this purpose. Colossians 2, 11 to 16. This is what I read. in Christ, writing to believers, you were also circumcised. Not physically, no. In the putting off the flesh, not with the circumcision done by the hands of men, not by men, it's not man's work, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, spiritual baptism, and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. You were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having cancelled the written code with his regulations that was against us and stood opposed to us. He took it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Time is running out in this discourse. The great phrase in the New Testament, I hope you listen to this, the great phrase in the New Testament is, but now, and that speaks of the change of epoch from the old covenant to the new, but it also speaks in an individual sense, before my conversion, before my regeneration, before I'm trusting Christ, before I'm in Christ, I'm in Adam, dead in sins, ruined by the fall. So there's the individual, but now. Have you had that, my friend? Oh, come to Christ and you will have the but now. But there's the epoch. John the Baptist, Christ. Moses, Christ. The changing of the covenants. And this is a tremendous subject, a tremendous, glorious discontinuity. How many play it down? How few understand it? Oh, this is the glory of the gospel. Old covenant to new covenant, and the gospel is the new covenant. Now the texts, I'll give them to you, and I'll repeat it. So repeat them so you can take them down if you want and check them, and I urge you to read these verses. Romans 3:21, 5:9-11, 6:22, 7:6, 8:1, 11:30, 11:31, 16:26, 11:31, you'll have to read in the modern versions. John 15:22 and 24, Acts 17:30, 1 Corinthians 15:20, Galatians 4:9, Ephesians 2:12-13, 5:8, Colossians 1:26, Hebrews 8:6, 9:26, 12:26, 1 Peter chapter 2:10. Let me read the Romans 2 again to give you the list. Oh, do look these up, my friend. Romans 3:21, 5:9-11, 6:22, 7:6, 8:1, 11:30 and 31, and 16:26. Oh, I hope you know the but now. Not only in the sense of the epochs, that will help you to understand the Bible and to explain it and argue it and apply it. But I hope, above all, that you know it in your own personal experience. Once I was blind, but now I see. Once I was dead, but now I live. Once I was dumb, but now I can speak. Once I was deaf, I could not hear. But now, but now, but now, but now. This is a glorious doctrine. Lloyd-Jones said, no greater words in all the Bible, and I agree. This is the great, massive truth, but now. It's like tetelestai in Christ, it is accomplished. It's brought in now. The gospel has come. Salvation has come. Oh, that you know it in epoch sense, but above all, in your own individual experience. Amen.